Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Absolute Cuts. How are you, Ryan?
I'm fucking fabulous.
Good.
Because I'm doing nothing.
You did a late and live last night.
Yeah.
Notorious, loud, mental end for a gig that's never fucking mental anymore.
Yeah, no, it's gone. It used to be the big one. I used to, like, I've heard of it, like, even before I was a comedian. So when I became a comedian, and I was like, God, I'd always wanted to do it. The bear pit itself. And
yeah.
then when I did it a couple of years ago, it was literally just a nice compilation show.
Yeah. That's not that bad if it's nice. Some nights I've done it going on last where someone's tried to recreate that.
Oh, no.
In the audience, but there's not an appetite for it in the audience, and it's some wanker from, like, and traditionally it's normally some prick who's part of a sketch group or something, or they're here as part of a touring company. It's not just a punter, and they think I'll be tonight's designated heckler.
The story, the group on before, it was like I think it's like drag acts and stuff like that. We're all complaining that there was no rider for them.
All right. No rider.
28 days in a row, they thought they were going to get a rider every day for their show.
Fuck, what?
For an entire company of like 10. There was like 10 people in there. Yeah, yeah.
Because I've not done it this year. Do you still get beers?
But yeah, we get ones. yeah, late and live get ones, but that's the big one. Come on.
Aye, aye.
Not a standard show. Like,
that's a mental idea that you would come and it not be like, it's not like, you're not the only show in the venue, so why the fuck would you get out? Like, I could understand if, even going on your own tour now,
yeah,
I wouldn't expect a rider backstage.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It's not, you're not fucking Zeppelin in the 70s, you're not arriving on your own jet, for Christ's sake.
I did that thing before where I fucked up someone's rider, but they did the rider for contract reasons. Do you get it? Do you know, like, the way, like, Mariah Carey was famous for, like, the 82 roses or something?
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
that's just a contract thing, so they know that they read the contract that they signed.
Ah, so they're not exactly...
So it's not exactly straight-up diva, right?
Aye.
So I did it in the more... Do you remember a band called The Dan Band?
No.
They were in a couple of Todd Phillips films. They were the ones that swore.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that's what they're called, but I know exactly who they are.
Fucking need you. Yeah. Right, so they came to Galway once, and they were doing the festival. And I was back in the apartment, and they were still in the apartment. But when they arrived, it was like, welcome, Dan Bland. And all their like stuff was there. And there was like bowls of Skittles that were only green. There was like a bowl of just green Skittles and stuff like that. And in my head, I was like, fuck, that's weird. And I was drunk, and I just ate half of it. Right, so I come in, our friend Duck comes in, who was dealing with it all, just comes in, he goes, what the fuck happened to all the thing? I was like, I ate it. And he goes, it's for fucking contract reasons. And I was like, oh, I was wondering if they're just real picky. And I was like, fuck them cunts. Absolutely shafted the Dan Band.
What would you put in if you were doing it for contract reasons?
Well,
what would you put in?
Just, five different types of poppers.
Nice, but specific ones as well.
Yeah.
So they couldn't just all be liquid gold.
I got a 5-5.
Aye, that's a very, very good one, actually.
A wee plate of five different types of poppers.
That's a very, very good one. I think I'd go really, I'd like demand like a small dog that only answered to a specific name. So if they couldn't find one called that, they'd had to train the fucker.
If you continuously demanded that, you would just not get booked. I want a small dog that only answers
not
to the
a
name.
Specific dog, just any small dog. A certain, there would be certain restrictions on it, certain height, weight, length, but it had to answer to this one name.
What's the name? It would have to be something.
Something quite Callum. Callum. Callum! Callum! Fucking thing's not moving, I'm out of here.
You're not doing the gig, you're going to have to fight someone else. You didn't read the fucking contract. Like, we did.
Yeah, we just can't, we can't train a dog.
We don't even have the fucking time. Fuck it out. I don't think there's been any much else happening. It's now just in the middle of that monotonous, every day is the same.
It was a day off yesterday. I think I may be dying. Because it's getting worse. I've got this thing where, like, parts of my skin hurt. Just parts of my body. And initially I thought, like, because like the comedian Raymond Mearns had a stroke before,
so
like
thinking...
2 days, and then because it was down my left hand side, I was like, fuck, I'm having a stroke as well. But then it started to kind of move across, and then bits of different bits of my back. So it's like my skin just hurt. It's weird. It's such a hard thing to describe as well. Your skin just hurts.
Right. Well.
And I don't have anything else. I think, do you know, and I know because I was saying to you in the group, and they were like, because the vomiting, because I've been vomiting every day before the gigs, but I know that I was doing that anyway last year.
Okay.
That's definitely a nerves thing.
Okay.
That is definitely my nervousness is too much before I go on stage,
right,
that I need to go and hook up in the sink of the toilet. The skin thing, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want to, because if he says to me, he's like, what have you been doing for the past? And I'll be like, well, the weekend before the Fringe, me and my pal went to a festival, and then we barely get any sleep. We got fucked up on the Friday night. Then we drove all day, and then didn't get any sleep that night really either. And then after that, I went down to Newcastle for a preview. Didn't really sleep that night. And ever since then, I've pretty much not been sleeping any night, and I've been working constantly, walking up hills, sweating, and been kind of drinking every day.
Yeah.
And then he'd go, well, what the fuck do you think's wrong with you then?
That's normal.
That's what you're doing. Like, that's why you feel like shit.
So, I've got one for you, right? You just said something like that. I'm slightly worried now, right? Uh-huh. Because I have got these keep popping up, right? So, it's like spots and hives, and it's all down my left side.
Oh, see, I've not got any rashes
so
or anything.
So, it's only on the left side. It's down my leg.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Here, and I'm like, why is it only on my left hand side? So the fact that you're saying this now, my skin doesn't hurt. This is just literally scratchy.
Right.
And I kept going saying, it doesn't seem to be contagious. We'll see now on the thing. It's just because there's 2 fucking million people here.
Aye.
And everybody's got something weird.
It is, aye. I mean, and someone said, maybe it's the fact that you're doing your show in a venue that where the walls leak every night. Maybe that's what it is. Like you're essentially playing a toilet bowl every night. So maybe that's why your immune system isn't fucking tip top this August.
Oh, I once tried to soundproof my room in the Fringe by ripping up the carpet off the floor and nailing it at the wall. So people will come in and just both sides of the wall to soundproof because you could hear both shows going, 3 shows going simultaneously. It didn't work, obviously.
Yeah. Know,
but all it did was just make me and the whole place cough. Because the squat that was completely uninhabited. They just called it Barbados. And how they did that was they just threw sawdust and said, that's sand. That is what it was.
They called the room Barbados.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
My God almighty.
Barbados, it's now the Inishin Gun place at Cowgate, you know, like.
Oh yeah.
You know, you walk in under like the thing.
Geez,
and all the rooms are upstairs because it was just like abandoned throughout the year.
Some of those venues in Cowgate especially, like, sorry for a very specific Edinburgh chat, but some of those venues.
Aye.
There's like one opposite the Underbelly that's just like a barn.
And yes. That.
People do shows and, like, you can just hear the street outside. There's no mask, there's no tape up, there's no window, there's no barriers, a curtain, nothing.
Yeah, what's that place called? Sneaky Pete's, maybe?
No, like, at least that's
No,
indoors.
Sneaky Pete's is the, yeah, indoors
it's,
beside
I don't
it.
Know if it's
yeah.
called, is it called Subway or something like that?
No, I think Subway used to be the place I did.
Right.
Which was called, it was like the Metal Bar, was it?
Oh, yeah,
Subway,
yeah,
the Metal
yeah,
Bar,
yeah.
You go upstairs, the fuck, I forget what it's called. I know which one you're on about. It's in between all of the things we've just talked about.
Yeah.
It's just like a, looks like a little, you can see people play music and it would make more sense with music.
Aye. There's a mental bit next to where I'm in the Hive and it's, I really like the bar actually, it's called The Globe.
Yeah.
Right, and I often go into it just to chill out like for the half hour before the gig. But it's never, cause the reason I go into it is because it's never busy so I can just sit wherever I want.
Yeah.
Like, have a bag of crisps or something, but it gets really busy whenever sport's on.
Yeah.
And
okay.
There's a show on in there, but it's clearly just an area of the bar that they've stacked seats up as a wall and then just draped a curtain over. And, like, I'm like, so you can hear the whole show when it's not busy, but then when games are on, the show's going on it all the time. So when like a Hibs or Hearts game's on,
oh
there's
my
people just
God.
Fucking yelling. And I'm like, I don't know how you're managing
how you could,
to even doing this. It's
great. This is what happens when there's like every single possible room is used for a venue.
Yeah.
Complications.
Yep.
Yeah. I've had some stinkers.
Oh, I know. I've seen them.
Do you remember the one I did in my first ever French Sportsters? I don't think we might have. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's now Bohemia. Do you know down by the station, you know, the back entrance of the station?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I know that. Oh, Jesus.
There was a sports bar. It used to be a sports bar. It's all done up now, but I used to be at the very back of that sports bar. So you'd go into the sports bar, couldn't find the venue. You'd have to go up two flights of stairs in that, and you follow a little thing the whole way around the back. My first ever gig, someone got so mad, she chucked the chair at the bar. And you know the worst part was, that wasn't meant to be the venue. They told me a week before, it's like, there's been a sewage explosion. And your venue is completely fucked. We've got another alternative room that we can use. And I was like, oh, this is not what I want to hear. I land in and they go, this was the room you were supposed to use. And it was the full nightclub floor. There was about 600 people, right?
Jesus Christ.
And then they show me, here's the alternative room. It was like a 60-seater room. And I go, thank God.
Thank God.
You were going to put me in that? That would have been the worst. That would have been.
My God.
So I was like, thank God a sewage pipe fucking went out. Says, we can't even open the nightclub. And I'm like, well, also good, because I have a show on.
Exactly, I know. This has worked out. I'm so glad I caused that sewage explosion.
You go in. I'm going to have to drop a big one here if I'm going to get this fringe back on track. That's how I start out my fringe venues. If I know there's another room in the venue, I just have to destroy the one I'm in. He always goes for shit. This week's episode was like very much. I think this movie choice was very much one of the first ones we went, oh, as in like it's gonna be, that's a proper charity shot, £1.
It's the first film neither of us have seen either.
Yes, I've never seen it, and I've never seen the original.
See, so it's Assault on Precinct 13.
Yes.
Now I didn't realize this until I was watching this week. So the original Assault on Precinct 13 is a 70s John Carpenter film, which is excellent. I say it's excellent. It's like a proper culty kind of film. It's all right. Like, it's quite...
Yeah,
It's pretty bleak at the start. But then that's also a remake of the Western Rio Bravo.
Oh,
basically
right.
The same concept.
Okay.
So it's the first remake we've done, and the first film both of us have never seen.
Yeah, yeah. Right. What are you going for? Out of 10. Do you want to go out of 10?
Right, so what I will say about it is, because this was your choice.
Yeah.
I went within, like that, on my opinion of it. At the start, I was like, do you know what? This is actually all right. To then going, I fucking hate this. To then going, oh no, it's all right. And then at the end going, I really fucking hate this.
So this is very fun. I thought it starts great. I think it goes all right. It's set up well.
Yeah.
And then it comes really boring.
Yeah.
Then it becomes like, ugh. And then I was like, all right, it's winning me back. And then I also again finished at one of the stupidest endings. We'll get to it. Like, So I'm all with it. I would give it about 6.5, I'd say, because I enjoyed it. But really, it's a 5.
I would totally agree. But they get this.
There's enough. Yeah. Enough
the
people.
The start is. Because when I started watching it, so it starts off, because it doesn't even, like, there's no credits or titles or anything. It just racks right in with Ethan Hawke sitting there basically doing a drug deal with the guy from Lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so initially I was like, I put the wrong film out here because, he doesn't look like he does on the cover of the DVD. He's got a completely different haircut. There's been no preamble to this at all.
Just like, went balls
deep. Generally, am I watching a different film here?
Yeah. I love the fact that he, in the scene, like Ethan Hawke's all like, he goes full on method, starts going on about conspiracy theories. All of it was totally unnecessary, even as an undercover.
He could have just done
a simple drug deal, and he was sitting there going like, "Man, the government's coming out."
Yeah,
he was good at acting like a little tweaked out.
Because the guy that he's really like trying to sell to like a proper drug lord. And he's got like a rabid dog with him.
This is the first 35 seconds of the film.
Ethan Hawke says, can you keep your dog under control? It's worrying my girlfriend. So as it transpires, she's also an undercover cop. And she's kind of lying flaked out on the couch. So the drug lord goes, this is how I keep him under control. And he just starts punching the dog. Like, not hitting it.
Punch,
actually,
close fist.
Punching him in the face like that.
I was the first thing I saw was, well, Mark's going to enjoy this part. What a straight off the bat. He hit the dog a fucking dick.
Oh, jeez. And the dog just takes it. And his last hook. And then Ethan Hawke says, yeah, I've got a dog as well. Brings in another guy that's undercover and just starts slapping him about the place.
Slapping him about the place. Do you reckon after the work they were like, do you think that was really necessary for the party, slap me about?
There was no need for the dog in any of this.
And what the dog as well, it sniffed out, was sniffing at Ethan Hawke and barking at him, going like, I know you're a cop. Which exactly, is the opposite of a sniffer dog.
Yeah. That'd be a great thing.
If you had a dog that...
If drug dealers could
get a get,
to get a narc sniffer dog, that'd be amazing. You just
rub bacon in his nose. Go find the pigs. Go find the pigs. It's so fucking funny. It's just the complete opposite. Also, what happens then is the whole thing blows up because the drug dealers kind of recognize the other guy undercover. They're like, he testified at my brother's trial, and
but he says last week.
Right.
So how deep undercover is this guy to where he can go from being a slapped about drug addict to turning up in court and being a credible witness?
It all blows up, and two of them die. Two of the undercover cops die. Right. And the whole thing, you're just like, this is nobody's fault by the police, but the police, like the police department. What a massive oversight that they're going to send the guy whose brother on trial, and they were going to make sure he was there deal a week ago when he put his brother away.
And also, I don't think I've ever seen a drugs bust go wrong where they're calling for backup and the backup never comes. So why is the backup not literally... If they know this is going to be the one deal where if the guy accepts it, then the arrests are going to be made, why aren't they just... literally sitting around the corner.
There should be
a helicopter sitting away up there, just out of shot. Fucking tons of them. But they've always got radio at end. Officer down, officer down.
Like, it's just so amazing. You're too late. At one stage he shouts, call an ambulance. And I was like, there's nobody around. You're in a weird warehouse thing. That was the whole point of
you've also been living in that area as a drug dealer junkie. Why the fuck are people going to rush to your aid now?
There is one thing as well. I didn't notice, but I thought that it happened, and I busted laughing, and then I got corrected immediately. The way the woman fell when she got shot, it looked like she got shot in the fanny. She came around the corner, you know, and he looked away, and she looked over, and he shot, and then she dropped like hips back went down, like as if you were shot. She was shot right in the fanny.
Oh god!
That is what happened. I was like, did she get shot in the fanny? Like, I was dying laughing, and then it came up and it showed it like just on her lower stomach.
It's her gut eyes.
It was in her gut, but the way she fell, I was like, I fucking died laughing.
Oh my god!
Shit, man, it'd be great though.
We need a medic. I see.
She's gonna ruin her fanny.
Pushing her through that fucking rushed scene where they're pushing her through the hospital waiting room's going, we've got a hemorrhaging fanny.
The bullet came out through the other side.
Call Dr. Vagine.
Dr. Vagine. Oh my god. Yeah, so straight off, that got me in. I did enjoy that part. I thought it was pretty wild, but then it oddly became... Then it was like a Christmas film for 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of admin after that.
After that, it was them in a police station. This police station is closing down,
but before that... Oh, no, because he gets
before that.
No, because he does... Because then the credits start, and then you go, right, this is the right film.
Yeah.
And then he gets up, and he's obviously... Because it says 6 months later. And obviously still not dealing with this, and he's taking painkillers, and he's drinking...
Yeah.
First thing in the morning. And then he drives in like a ridiculous snowstorm. And then it just cuts completely to this carol service in a church. And Loris Fishburne is sitting at the back. And a guy comes up and then they have some gangster chat. And then the guy pulls a fucking gun on him.
And then you find out eventually that's a policeman, a dodgy policeman who kills.
Yeah.
If you were going to execute a fucking policeman or an assassination, I think the last place I would do it would be in the fucking church.
Yeah.
Where there was loads of people and did one of those. It happens in so many films where just like nobody noticed. Just knifed the man, put his head down, knifed him, and went.
At Christmas as well. Like if you're even if you're desperate to kill someone in a church, you don't pick one of the home games. You don't you avoid Easter and Christmas. Do it in fucking May, for Christ's sake, when nobody goes.
Fucking old woman caught up from her prayers and there's a guy with a knife in the back of his head. He's like, you should have prayed harder. That was also wild. Yeah, I was just like, right, what a place to do it. Yeah, then I felt it became a Christmas film where they're all like, everyone was trying to sexually harass. First of all, there's a main thing I had the problem with. This is I had no idea who the love interest was supposed to be. Not that there has to be one, but
there was absolutely no need for one in this film whatsoever.
So, like, first of all, I can't remember her name. Sopranos.
Yeah, she's Christopher's wife in Sopranos.
Yeah, yeah. So she was in it, and everybody here in the office keeps going, right, we're staying in here. Everybody's like having a shot at her.
Yeah, because it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But they're playing Christmas music. That's where the confusion.
Yeah.
So they're in a rundown precinct 13, which is getting closed that very day. Like that's when they're closing the precinct. This is the last night of the precinct. So they're already boxing shit up. They've started cutting off the power in parts of it, but they have to be there for this Christmas Eve. So it's the two of them, and she loves New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
but she's dressed all fucking sexy for some reason.
Yeah.
To hang about with her boss and an old cop.
An old man called Jasper. Fucking Jasper, what a name. Now, we'll get to Jasper in a bit, right? But if you're hearing about Jasper, is at one stage you go, oh, it's my last day in the job. Yeah. And I was like, well, here's this fucking story again. Well, he's not, that's him dead. I know. Right, something different does happen with him than the standard.
Also, how is it your last day in the job? Because you're in mid-70s, for fuck's sake, Brian Dennehy. What kind of shite precinct is this where nothing's happened where they can still afford? Oh. They can still afford the night manager to be a fucking 76-year-old dude.
Oh, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the time you were laughing at me years ago when I told you what I used to do in Grand Theft Auto?
Oh God, the funniest thing.
When I was a kid, like it's so fucked up. But when I used to, it used to be the exact same play as that, right? Where I would kill a woman. Has to be a woman. All right, I didn't make the rules. I did. But you kill a woman, you drag her into the middle of the road, and you cover her in petrol. And then you draw a little trail of petrol away from her. And then you know, fire a couple more rounds in the air so the police are definitely on their way. And then all I used to do as a kid was imagine that it was, when the police come around the corner, the other guy in the car was either... like Jasper, an old man on his last day in the force, or else a rookie on his first day, and they just drive around the corner to see me standing waiting for them with a woman burning in the middle of the road. I shoot the little trail and it goes up and lights them up. Oh. You'd be like, oh fuck, I want out, or else it's my last day in the job.
It was that I was howling at, and the thing that Elliot did in Red Dead Redemption, where he used to go onto a train. He'd be like, he'd be holding up a train, and he'd go through the passengers, and he'd go up to a man with his wife, and demand to give him his money. The guy would naturally give all over his money, and then he'd just shoot his wife anyway.
Absolute horror.
So unnecessary.
The unnecessary nature is always. I used to always in Red Dead play games of poker, and anytime you lost a hand, you just light up everyone at the table. Because you'd sit there and go, I would always play, like, even if it was blackjack, I'd be like, stick on a 7. And the guy would be like, 16, you lost. And you go, you fucking.
No, you lost.
I'll get my fucking jack. Yeah, so he was that was the love interest. Not the love interest. She was there, and everybody was fun over. Even him, because he even did he tried to do a little sexy look at her. Yeah. But Ethan Hawke, and he's a good actor. I like Ethan Hawke.
I saw that. But even you're right. Every single guy that walked in there had a shot at her.
Aye.
Really. Like, hit on her at some point in that film.
Even Ethan looked at her ass walking past. The first thing, he was like... And he did this weird thing with his lips, like... I was like, what the fuck is this? Aye, old men. There was like literally old men. Yeah. Nowhere near in her league.
The guys weren't even working. They just turned up to have a shot of her.
How lonely was that guy? The guy turns up later. I just wanted to see.
Oh my God.
You wanted horny boys and everything.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That boy. And it's about 2:30 on New Year's Day. So he's not even turning up for
the
kiss at midnight. He's turning up at 2:30. And he readily admits the only reason I came was to have a crack at Christopher from The Sopranos. Like,
oh, fucking hell.
I've specifically left what I was doing to drive in a storm, which has already forced a prison truck off the road. But he thought, nah, I'm going to take the chance.
Well, I guess my only chance here of this woman is if we get snowed in.
Oh, God almighty.
Oh, it was fucking excellent. And then that brings us on to the other woman in the film. And it sounds like we're going, these are very shallow characters, but really what it is they just added two love interests that weren't really love interests. They both really did fuck all. In the
they film. Are, they are very shallow characters.
Yeah.
There's no character.
She was
neither
horny.
Neither of the female characters have got any substance whatsoever about them.
She was, the other one was then, which I thought, okay, there's oddly two that are going to get together here. Because then Ethan Hawke meets his therapist. And his therapist's like, real bad. None of it seems like any say legit. It's like a guy writing therapy that's never been to a therapist.
Yeah. But you could also, I reckon, if I turned up and I'd not even been studying therapy.
Yeah.
I'd heard a podcast about therapy and they took me in to Ethan Hawke and said, what do you reckon's wrong with this guy? I went, what, this fucking guy? This guy that basically blames himself for having his two partners killed because he made the wrong decision, is now stuck at a precinct with an old man perving over a woman. He drinks in the morning. He's got a wee box of pills and a matchbox. Fuck, whatever could be wrong with this guy, my God. What demons is he dealing with?
Open and shut kiss. Open and shut kiss. He calls her Dr. Mindfuck. He gets so angry, you know that.
He's so inappropriate with her.
He says to her,
he's basically like, let's be honest here, the only reason we keep having this meeting is because you want to fuck me. And he literally just says that to a fucking trained doctor. He's a sergeant. He's the superior officer at that precinct. And he's speaking like this to someone.
A police hired fucking therapist.
Oh
Jesus Christ. And then like, they were doing like their on-off thing for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, I have to go and do something. You know, she goes out to the car and then she just gets brutally executed.
Well, no, she goes, that's well earlier. That's much later when she gets brutally executed.
Yeah.
She is dressed up because it's New Year's Eve. So why she has to, again, why the fuck she didn't say to, even if someone has said, look, you desperately need to speak to Ethan Hawke one more time before the bells.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and she's like, "But I'm actually dressed up on my way to a New Year's Eve party. It doesn't matter."
Yeah, okay.
You know, but I don't know if you've noticed, there's an actual storm warning outside. It doesn't matter. You're arse over there, and you deal with that fucking sexually harassing sergeant, right?
Oh my God.
And then I thought she was going to come back because I knew at that point, because it's Maria Bello that played her. So I was like, she's far too big an actress to that only be the bit.
Okay.
So then he, like, pickpockets the file on him from our briefcase. So I thought, all right, she's going to come back and go, where the fuck's my folder? And then that's how she's going to be there. But she turns up way later when she's not been able to get to the party.
Oh, yes.
And then, so then, this is before all hell breaks loose in the precinct.
Okay.
So she's just at the party then, because everyone's fucking boozing it up. Like, how in God's name they managed to put up a stance? I mean, we're not like going chronologically with the plot here, but when the siege happens, an old man, a guy that can barely walk and is high as fucking pills, a woman that's essentially is revealed. At one point, people just keep referring to her as secretary. Right? That's her name. They've given away with calling her actual name. They're just calling her secretary now. a fucking therapist who has OCD and has to do complex maths in her head whenever she gets stressed, and then some criminals, they manage... But even before the criminals, this band, who for 3 hours have been getting fucking pissed, absolutely cunted. They've been, they're all fucking wrecked. And then they managed to hold off an elite SWAT force.
SWAT teams. Right. One of the things, so basically, first of all, a siege happens. You find out that it's actually policemen outside mm-hmm. that are trying to get Lawrence Fishburne. They want to kill him because if they don't, it'll expose corruption.
They're all bent cops. Yeah, they've been on the take with him for years.
Yeah. So at one stage, they cut all of thing, real high stuff, you know, like block out all the phone calls and all this. And then I was like, wow, this is very high tech. And then they just chucked a brick through the window that said Bishop on it. Give us Bishop. And I was like, wow, that really, really went back down to earth on
one. I know.
A brick with Bishop written on it.
Because initially they think it's, because Bishop is Lawrence Fishburne. He's like a proper crime lord.
Yeah.
And he's quite a, the cops have clearly been trying to get him for years.
Yeah.
So this is a big, huge take.
Yeah. And he's only in the jail because of the bad night, because of the storm, yeah. So,
but you'd think if he's such, because he's transported with.
But that means that the police planned the storm. If they're, there's a wee beep there, we'll ignore it anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, like, were they going to break him out during it or whatever? They just seemed to follow it, and then we're like, thank God that this is going to stop here in a tiny little fucking precinct.
What I don't get is,
I'll stop it.
Anyhow,
that's it. What I don't get is, his arrest is such a huge deal that it makes the news, right? And it's the biggest bust that they've had, right?
Yeah.
So why is he not, regardless of storms or anything, why is he not immediately taken on his own to the highest maximum security that he possibly can be? Yeah. Why is he loaded on, like, the fucking truck that takes him to Shawshank, right? Why is he loaded on with John Leguizamo, who's basically basically fucked off his face on crack?
Yeah, yeah.
Ja Rule, who, we'll get to this, inexplicably refers to himself in the third person constantly. And basically just a woman who has been arrested because she looks like her sister, who's stolen a car. Why is a petty car thief being transferred with the most wanted man in the whole country in the same bus?
It's unbelievable. There's so much to it. Like, I fucking... what the fuck was I going to say? There was something very funny. Right, you know, there's a part where the police send in a SWAT team at the start.
Yes.
And they kind of deal with the SWAT team, right? And then about 2 minutes later, they just kind of go... Oh, because we'll be okay when the guys arrive. So there's something planned.
Yeah.
And then the other plan, their plan B by the police to break in, the bad police, was send a helicopter and then draw just another SWAT team.
Yeah.
So it's the two same plans. Only one gets carried. Cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The helicopter
one goes in the roof, and that's it. Yeah.
That was it. It was the exact same. We just sounded up the exact same tactical team.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, the boys are here.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Their mode of transport was a bit cooler.
When you do find how they eventually catch them, why that couldn't have been done much earlier? Because as it transpires, Jasper is also a bent cop.
Aye.
Which, I'll be honest, I didn't see coming.
I didn't. So that's why they probably fooled me with that thing that I was talking about Osman last day in the force.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's dying. But
I definitely didn't see it coming.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he leads them out this sewer tunnel that he finds below the precinct.
Yeah.
And then they're waiting for them.
Yeah, could have done it immediately.
That could have done it. I'm also confused as to how these cops, because it's Gabriel Byrne,
who we both love. Yeah.
He's the head of the bent cops. But he says, I'm head of organized crime and racketeering.
Yeah.
Right? And I never really know what racketeering actually is. It's basically running a racket. So I took it as like when the mafia would, the actual Italian Sicilian mafia, they would own areas of New York or Boston or wherever. Any business that was in that, if they wanted protection, They had to give them a cut.
That would make
sense.
So
I thought that was what racketeering was. I thought it was right? So
badminton's highly illegal in the greater Detroit area. Detroit always looks fucking shite in it too. murdering racketeering.
But they're normal cops. So how are they then so tactically advanced? Like, I'd understand if they all rocked up in cars and they just had their sidearms.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But they rock up with night vision goggles, fucking grappling hooks, AK-47s.
A fucking helicopter, eventually.
How have they gone from becoming just normal cops to being a SWAT team?
And then 8 hours in, but 8 hours into the siege, he kind of goes, Christ, the fire brigade and stuff might be coming here soon. I'm like, how did you keep any of this under wraps? You've made more noise than any possible. The fucking, all of it. Lawrence Fishburne as well, Bishop Inside, when one of the SWAT members comes in, hits him with a petrol bomb from like 1 yard.
Yeah he does.
It's not a close, look, I know petrol bombs.
Yeah.
It's not a close range weapon.
Because when
it's like a bazooka from fucking 2 yards.
When Ethan Hawke decides to let out all the prisoners because he's like, well, we need as many hands as we can get. Obviously, they've not got enough guns. So he takes them to the evidence room.
Yeah.
Where they're bagging up all the evidence because the precinct's closing down the next day. So they're bagging up all the evidence. So he says, just take what you want. So John Leguizamo takes a samurai sword. Ja Rule goes with a baseball bat. The fucking innocent woman who's never committed a crime gets a Tommy gun. A fucking Al Capone Tommy gun she uses. And then Lawrence Fishburne, the most criminally skilled amongst them all, gets left with two bottles of booze that he has to set on fire. Listen, you, woman that looks like her sister, you take the drink. Give me the actual firearm because I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Aye. We have any chance of fucking surviving. She was all gung-ho as well. Fucking machine gun.
She killed about five SWAT... She killed about five SWAT members despite never having fired a gun and also using a gun from the 1930s.
And they were all fully equipped. Had the tactical advantage and everything. Fucking hell. I love... There was a good old-fashioned standoff. Like a good old fashioned everyone pointing at
nine people.
I've never seen that many on a straight up.
Like. They steal a kill scene from Die Hard 2 when Ethan Hawke first goes out and tries to make it to. I think he's trying to make it into the police transport bus.
Okay, right.
And there's a guy in there, and they wrestle in the snow. And then he notices an icicle and then just jabs it in his eye. It's a cool death, but like you can't that
you once, can't be do that.
Once one film's taken that, you can't do that again.
Worst sniper. That sniper hit nothing. The whole fucking time he was pumping guns, like he was hitting cars randomly. He was missing people.
Terrible.
Like this is a terrible thing first of all, we were chatting about Ethan Hawke. So badly set up the police, and then these guys breaking in should have had that done if they were a real. They were shite.
Yeah.
Like Gabriel Byrne as well. One of the most unrealistic things was, and I love Gabriel Byrne, he was sitting in the car at one stage drinking a hot tea out of a tiny cup. See that? He was like, Where the fuck did you get that?
He's drinking tea out of an espresso cup. Like, why?
He's making a scene. I love it.
They are a terrible, terrible outfit of. Because there's tons of them.
Yeah, like, I've not.
Literally, like, I don't know what I would. If I was managing them, you'd go, right, we all just fucking storm it. Right. Some of you will get killed, but there's 8 of them, right? 4 of them have got nothing to do with this at all. 4 of them have never been involved in a crime in their life. One of them's an old man, again. One of them's Ja Rule, right? If we just storm it.
Yeah.
At best, we lose 3 men.
Yeah.
But we kill them, and this is over within 10 minutes.
Right. So, how, as well, I might be able to clear this up. I got confused. Jasper, the old man, right? How does he go from presumably not being in it because he could have ended the whole thing really quickly if he was in it from the start? How did he communicate with everyone that he would bring people down the sewage pipe? Because he's either in it from the start, and that was the whole plan the whole time. Yeah. But otherwise, that was a lot of faff.
Yeah.
For nothing. Like, or what?
Exactly.
Did he just week out the door and go, don't shoot me, I can get you in?
Because, but then Gabriel Byrne knows him. So he must know that he's on the take as well. So he's part of it all.
Yeah.
So then why does...
That's right, yeah.
But so, then he doesn't give... I mean, I know it would give away the story, but when they turn up, when the prisoners are turn up and said, oh, we need to keep them here for the night, he doesn't go, oh, fuck, this is pretty bad. We're going to need to get rid of these guys.
Yeah.
He just acts as if, oh, it's a pain in the arse, isn't it? Christ almighty. Fucking hell. There's me wrecked, and I've got to look after the most wanted man in the country.
Oh, God. And then Ja Rule, Fire Festival King himself.
Jesus. Was he part of the...
Wasn't it Ja Rule? Isn't that the guy that ran Fire Festival?
Oh, aye. I didn't... Because I knew there was a rapper involved, but I can't remember which one it was.
I'm so sure it's Ja Rule.
Can you remember... I can't remember the name of the actual guy that ran the festival.
Oh, no, no idea.
That prick. Oh, man. That... I totally forgot about that. I didn't realise it was Ja Rule's. That fire... Remember that... I think, was this early on in lockdown?
I think it might have been a lockdown thing. Or if, I have it in my head as lockdown.
See that documentary, right? That is, it's got one of the funniest things I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, well, I know
when
where you're
going. When the guy's talking about needing the water for the festival, and he basically goes to the whoever it is that can deliver the water and just offers to suck him off. It's literally like he goes from zero negotiation to offering him everything. He's like, oh, come on, you can deliver the water. No, I can't. Right, well, you've left me no choice. I'm going to have to suck you off for it. That's the only thing I can offer now. You drive a hard bargain, you, but I'll get down on my knees and I'll take it right now for the water.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, Ja Rule. So Ja Rule's called Smiley, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he refers to himself in the third person, the Holy Thread.
Never explained.
Yeah.
Never explained why he does that. Yeah. He just said, oh, Smiley's not happy about this.
Yeah.
Smiley thanks you for that.
Ryan thinks it's shite.
Yeah, fucking hell.
It was absolutely... At one stage he goes, they were like, they introduce each other, you know, kind of like him, whatever. And he goes, I'm Smiley and I'm a Libra.
Yeah.
I'm Smiley and I'm a Libra. I'm in here for gang rape.
But I'm a Libra. Yeah, what can I do? You know us Libras.
Yeah, I know. Get cranky when I don't eat at night.
There's a really awkward scene because Lawrence Fishburne says nothing for about the first three quarters of the film. I mean, he literally doesn't say a thing. He's just a presence.
Yeah.
He speaks very briefly to the guy he kills in the church.
Yes.
Then he says, fuck all the police. He says nothing in the bus. Yeah. He says nothing in the prison when he gets there. Leguizamo's trying to speak to him. He says nothing.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene. So when they've all decided that they don't trust each other, but they need each other to survive, there's a weird bit where it moves from room to room. And they're all doubled up in some way. So they're all covering one exit. So you've got Ja Rule and the therapist, and he's guessing that she's an Aries and all this kind of stuff. And then you've got the old man and the woman who's never committed a crime. They're sitting there. And then there's the...
Sopranos. And Fishburne.
And Fishburne are sitting there. And she's already alluded a couple of times about how... Because she's horny the whole fucking time.
So you were done with the horny boy, but she was also possibly the horniest of all.
Ah, and she says it like she loves criminals. Like, which seems, it seems wrong that she'd work as the secretary of a police station if the thing that turns her on the most is, it seems a recipe for disaster.
Her Tinder is literally just going through the case files, like, woo! Ooh, look at the arms and that's a rapist.
Tinder location thing's just set to 1 meter. Whoever's in the cell at this point, that's...
And he starts like going into it a bit, but starts rubbing like the fucking...
He starts coming on. He starts coming on to her while they're sitting there. But she's like, oh God, I've never felt so horny in my life. And he's like, yeah, killing will do that to you. Like, there's so much... There's not very little difference between being horny and killing. And then he starts describing about how if she ever's having sex again, if she gets choked, then she'll never look back. And she's fucking... She's rubbing the nub...
The
pigger. What's the pullback trigger thing?
Yeah, the trigger.
The cock.
Oh, yeah,
that's what they call you, cock a gun, yeah.
She's rubbing the cock of a gun clean up.
But she's like... Oh. And then
it's like a dude just putting his dick in the barrel of a shotgun.
Really uncomfortable.
It wasn't good at all. You kind of just sat there going like, and it's just a weird couple, Lawrence Fishburne and her.
Oh, it's just bizarre.
And then he kind of just goes, anyway, that's that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, right.
Anyway.
So he just basically just go, that's so think on.
Yeah, aye.
I'll catch you later.
Oh, God. Also, right, so there's a part where before the therapist gets assassinated.
Yes.
You know, there's a part where two of them jump into the car and try to get away.
Yes.
Isn't it? That's a thing. They try and drive away, right? And then they realize all of a sudden there's someone in the back of the car waiting for them.
Mm.
And he gets up. The assassin gets up at the back seat just when you think they're about to get away.
Yeah.
And then inexplicably goes, well, I might Harvey Dent this.
Mm.
And shoots the driver at full speed. Rather than shooting her in the passenger, he hits the driver.
That's a driver.
Fucking car flies off at 70 miles an hour and hits a pole in the snow. And I was like, this guy wanted to kill himself. Yeah, it was Harvey Dent. Harvey Dent, Dark Knighted it.
Yeah. And then she, because I thought initially, oh, that's both of them dead. Because I was quite surprised that they killed both of them. I didn't think.
Yeah.
I thought they might get captured.
There was one gunshot, so I presumed the therapist would live on.
Aye, well, yes.
But then...
Yes, but then there's a straight-up assassination.
Just shot her directly in the head. Good scene. That was filmed really well, the cutback.
And doesn't really give her much of a chance.
No.
It basically says, how many are in there? And she goes, 100. Which I found quite funny, actually, because it's like, it's not reminding me of mine. I remember this now. There was a time where... me and my friend Colin, who you've met, who was up the other night, actually, and made Mickey Bartlett howl like I've never seen him laugh, right? Me and my pal Colin, we'd been to see the Smashing Pumpkins in Glasgow, right? And the Smashing Pumpkins were largely shite because it was when Billy Corgan was just being a prick.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And so we left, like, before the encore and stuff like that, and we're like, right, we need somewhere to go. I was like, let's try the Garage. Which is a nightclub that we used to go to when we were younger. And we found it funny because we were hammered and we were like, we'd been fucking like doing poppers in the bus stop outside the place and like we'd had drinks on the way back in. So we were guttered, absolutely guttered. So we're like, this will be really funny because we're too old for this nightclub anyway. So they're going to say no for that. And they're definitely going to say no when they see what state we're in. So we stood in the queue behind all these young folk. And we got to the front of the queue and the bouncer went to me, he was like, how much you had to drink tonight, mate? And I went, fucking hunters. And he went, on you go. And we were like, what? It's like, just Jedi mind tricked the guy. It was like...
Good man.
But I just found that really funny when he went, 100. How many people are in there? And she went,
hunters.
Hundreds.
Hunters of them.
And then he just went, oh, you're a very brave woman. How many is in there? And then she said nothing. And he just went, oh, well.
Blew her head. I would like to see blew her head off, but there was a serious problem in that film where every bullet hole was tiny.
Yes.
Everybody that lay there, she shot her directly in the face. It's not as tiny gun. And then looked down and she just like had a little, she had a fucking zit here. Like I haven't been shot seven times here.
Yeah, it's like proper hitman assassin done with a silencer. It's very pinpoint.
Absolute pinpoint.
At close range, like I don't know much about guns, but I imagine if you're shooting someone in the face at close range,
it wouldn't just
it's
be
not
like...
going to be accurate. Like it's the face is going to go fucking everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You'd. I said about to say you'd hope. Oh, you'd hope. Jasper, the old man, last day in the force, decided to turn against his entire career.
Yeah,
got his balls flashbanged.
He did. There's a lot of flashbangs.
Yeah, they're really flashbangs.
Because they didn't use it, which I thought again would be more of a tactical move to use actual grenades.
Yes.
Or
yes.
There must be some grenade you can get that has gas in it, like gas that would knock people out.
There is, aye. Well, yeah, even tear gas would have worked better than what they did.
So if they're not wanting the explosions and worried about the noise, just use the tear gas ones. Why use a flashbang?
Yeah, yeah.
That just blinds people temporarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuts off their hearing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know as well, you know that you were on about they all bring like night vision goggles. The worst thing about it, I thought, was it is like halfway through them searching for each other in the woods at this stage, trying to find each other. And halfway through it, Gabriel Byrne turns to the guy and goes, put on your fucking night vision.
I was like, are you kidding me? The guy, the SWAT member has been fanning about here, not being able to see. When he had a fucking night vision, would have been immediately been able to have sorted that.
Yeah.
Like if he walked in with that at the start in the woods, he went, oh, there he is. Oh, there's the dude. Bang, game over. Like, you don't have your fucking goggles on, you stupid cunt. Again, SWAT, the worst SWAT team I've ever seen in my life. You basically, it was like, is this a gun? Oh, God. Yeah, wee things.
Gabriel Byrne was wasted.
Yeah, yeah.
He does nothing. Like, apart from that, like you say, very well shot scene.
Yeah.
Where he kills the therapist. He does nothing else of note. Well, he's not cool. He's not funny. He's not menacing. He doesn't have any great lines.
Yeah, he just sipped a cup of tea.
He does nothing.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't actually have any good lines. And there's plenty of opportunity because the few times they came to him in the car, all he had to do was say something cold. But really, he was just like, well, we kind of go back from this, boys.
I'm too deep now, so it's...
balls going.
And then the ending is... So they're in the forest. There's about 10 minutes where it goes from being dark enough that the guy needs the night vision goggles to being... bright daylight, but also looking like a beautiful day. What a lovely winter's day this is.
They turned a new page in their lives. Oh. That's what happened. And also some of the worst dialogue. I can't remember what they said, but basically she goes, God, you're like a different guy out there. You're a complete badass. But really all that was saying was like, all you needed for your mental health to get better was your therapist to die.
Your therapist was holding you back.
Your therapist got executed, and look at you. You're thriving now.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, complete mess. That end then.
Because he lets Fishburne go, which I thought was nice.
I would have done it too. I liked it.
I didn't think there should have been any question that the two of them were going to let each other live. I thought that would have been... There was no need for that as well. I'll be after you. And he was like, you'll fucking try.
It's just two old lads giving it. You'll be out there tomorrow night. Aye, you will.
Aye, it felt like a couple of neither of them wanted to say goodbye in a phone call. It's like, just go. Right, do you know what, lads? We've both been fucking legends here.
Let's
just go our separate ways. All the best. And like
Bishop. I don't know why I feel like it's just shite to call him Bishop after, you know, Bishop was in what, Alien?
But he's called Bishop. Bishop's one of the... So it's actually the roles are reversed in the original. Because the original is... I can't fully remember. I saw it when I was like a teenager. There's something like there's an assassination... An attempted assassination and gunned down at an ice cream van at the start, but this wee girl gets hit, and then someone gets taken. But it's exactly the same premise that there's mobsters. I think it's mobsters at that point are trying to infiltrate. But Bishop's one of the nod.
Okay,
to
right. Okay,
one of the
that's fine then.
Yeah,
I thought they were taking the piss there. Thought they were taking the fucking piss.
But listen, it's a pile of shite. But it is good for this podcast.
Oh, it was good, yeah. There was plenty to whine about. As I said, I wrote so much more notes than I usually do for this one.
Aye.
Just general watching it. I hated the fact it was nearly all in dark.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never ever watch it again.
No,
I'll
it's done.
Never ever
that's
watch
done.
It.
That's done. No. That's Ethan Hawke, you know.
I almost bought it on Prime as well.
Oh, no.
That wee red light's flashing, what does that mean?
Don't know, but we'll finish the pod anyway.
Aye. So next week is my choice, and we are doing our first ever war film.
Ooh.
But it's a war comedy heist movie, and it's Clint Eastwood in Kelly's Heroes, which
not,
is fucking class.
Not seen it.
It's got the most... The best, but most out-of-place theme tune I've ever seen in my life.
Okay,
so,
great.
So, in case we're now running out of this, very quick plugs.
None. To do this, I'm going off to Dubai, but I have no fringe show. Roast battles, if you're around, I'm running them, and they're good fun, and they're every Thursday night, basically, during the fringe in Monkey Barrel at 20 past 11.
Go, and I'm at the Hive every night at 5 past 7. So come along, please review as always, get in touch, follow us, all that shit. But thanks for watching. Cheers, see you next week.